We've gotten through the fact that love, right, isn't proud, and it doesn't boast, and it doesn't envy, right? We've gotten through those ones. This morning, we're going to talk about the fact that God is not, he's not proud, right? God's not proud, God is not self-seeking, and God is not rude. Now, we've said that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we define things by what they're not, because we just don't simply know how to put things into what they are, right? So we know that God's not certain things, but there isn't a, this is what God is, though, right? It's to contrast and to say, listen, God's not human. The problems that we struggle with, the things that we deal with, aren't necessarily what God deals with. He's opposite of that. So we would say that, listen, we tend to be boastful, right? Bringing glory to ourselves. God isn't boastful. He just simply is, right? When God met Moses, and Moses says, hey, what am I to say? Who are you, right? How am I going to explain who you are to other people? Moses wants that question because he knows that's what people are going to ask. Have you ever been asked that question? Who is God? What does he do? Like, we try to explain him. I mean, God just simply says to Moses, I am. Doesn't say, hey, I can do all these things for you. Like, listen, when we explain, when I introduce somebody to you, I say, this is my wife, Ruth. I'm going to say to you, she was a kindergarten teacher. She got promoted to first grade this year, right? So she's a first grade teacher, right? She plays piano. She's married to me. That right there should tell you enough, right? That she's these things. I'm going to explain her, and like, this is what she does. But if you say, well, that's great. That's what she does. But who is she? Like, who is she? Well, that you can only figure out if you experience her, right? Like, I can't tell you who she is. You got to experience a moment or two or five or ten or a lifetime with her to really know who she is. That's the same thing with God. Like, there are times where we try to explain away who God is, and what we really need to be saying to people is, I can't tell you what God is. You've got to experience him. Because you know what? The honest truth is that God is different in our lives, my life, than he is in yours. There are some of us who there's no way you would have stood up here this morning and said, listen, I did something wrong. I've experienced God. Our relationship now is, if I had not said that, I would not be communicating very well right now. Right? And so we experience God, and sometimes we say, listen, I know who God is, and some of the reason I know who God is because I know what he's not. And that's what these next three are all about, and they go together. And so I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and then I'm going to kind of tie all these in. So rather than just kind of taking them one at a time, they all go together. So pride, rudeness, self-seeking, they all go together. And guess what? What they do is they differentiate what it is to be a human over here and what it is to be godlike over here, right? So sometimes that's what we need to realize, is that, you know what? These things are human characteristics and not godly characteristics. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go through a bunch of these. And so I'm going to then tie them all in together. So if you go forward a couple pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If I would have been smart, I would have had somebody read all these for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start with verse 12. And I want to go through verse 18. And listen carefully, because you got to get the whole context of this. And that's why I chose to read all the verses rather than just pull out the one that I want. It says, verse 12, we do not dare to classify ourselves or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not very wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned us to, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand. so that when we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one that the Lord commends. And then if you go further a few pages to Galatians chapter 6. And I want to read the first five verses. Galatians chapter 6, the first five verses say this: brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritually mature, you who are spiritual, should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride on himself without comparing himself to anybody or to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. And then a few more pages, I want you to go to James. So find Hebrews, and it's the next chapter, or the next book. Chapter 4, and I want you to read verses 6 through 10 with me. Verses 6 through 10 says this: But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Then I want to go to Isaiah, so now we got to go back. I want to go to Isaiah, and I want you to find chapter 14 for me. A story some of you might know, some of you probably have heard about it, not sure where it's found. But in Isaiah chapter 14, we find the story of Lucifer, we find the story of Satan, we find the story of our enemy. Oh, but that's super important that you and I understand the story of our enemy. You get that, right? I hope that you understand that in life. Part of being a Christian is that we're to understand each other's story. Do you know that's the thing that people crave? Is they just want somebody to listen to them, don't they? They just want somebody to understand where they're coming from. We fight really hard. That's the venue that we fight as husband and wives, that we fight as co-workers, that we fight as brothers and sisters. We fight when we don't think somebody's understanding our point of view. Right? And so we just desperately want them to listen. You're not understanding, you're not listening, you're not hearing me. Ever said those words to people? We are to do that for other people. We're to shut up and listen to other people. And then the Holy Spirit hopefully works within us and causes us to be able to understand. I can't walk in your shoes. I don't have to go through what you go through to be able to have compassion and empathy for you. Right? But we are to understand things. And one of the things is we're to understand who our enemy is. And so when you get to Isaiah chapter 14, and you pick it up at verse 12, it says this: how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, the depths of the pit. And then I want to finish this morning by going to Matthew chapter 5. Notice I said I'm not concluded. I just want to finish reading Scripture. I saw Rob get a smile. Matthew chapter 5. Starting with verse 21. Says this: you have heard what was said to the people long ago, do not murder, anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of heaven. Well, let me try to tie these things in together for you. When we talk about the fact that God isn't proud, that God isn't rude, and God isn't self-seeking, right, we're hitting at the heart of what we are as people. You see, life is pretty simple, right? If you imagine with me a teeter-totter, couldn't bring one in here. It's hard when you collect swords and you don't collect teeter-totters. Okay, but if you brought a teeter-totter in here, he said, we all pretty much grasp the concept of teeter-totter, right? The whole idea is, like, the heavier weight gets to make the other weight stay up in the air, right? And the whole idea is that you're trying to find somebody that you're semi-balanced with so you can enjoy this whole concept of going like this, right? I don't know about you, but I didn't play that very much on the playground. Instead, we played who could keep who in the air the longest, right? Because whoever kept the other person in the air the longest had all the control. Right? It was more about controlling somebody and making them spend their entire playtime up in the air, right, than it was just enjoying the whole thing. And in life, we have this proposition. See, life for us as Christians, it's just like a teeter-totter. And the whole idea is, listen, self-promotion, pride, boasting, self-seeking, rudeness, it's on this side. And the only way that we can lift ourselves up is by doing what? Holding somebody else down, right? Right, the only way that we can get up is by holding somebody else or something else down. That's the human way. It's all around us, is it not? We go to work every day. We're at home every day. The only way that I can make myself feel good is if other people aren't feeling good. That's our concept. And God says, no, listen, if you want to be lifted up, let me do it. Know your place. You see, one seeks the applause of men. One is about seeking the applause of heaven. Super, super important concept. You see, as a human being, I desire the applause of men. I love it when people walk up to me and say, that was just the greatest sermon ever. You know what happens, though, is that the time that you don't say that, what am I thinking? That wasn't the greatest sermon ever. What makes us, what gets us somewhere is what we need to keep us there, is it not? See, once I get lifted up, in order to stay lifted up, I've got to keep putting people down. And that's what pride and self-seeking does. It's a sin that eats away at you, and it makes you start to think that you're up here, that you're something, that you've arrived. Right? Paul says, listen, we only boast the things that we've done. Right? We don't boast about all the other stuff out there. That makes sense. But how you decide to boast in what you do also is a problem. Paul over and over is saying it's not about comparison. See, people who are self-seeking, it's all about comparing. They compare themselves and what they do to everybody else. See, pride starts out as self-seeking. I want what I want. I want to accomplish what I have in mind. And at the beginning, there are self-seeking people who will work with other people. Excuse me. There are self-seeking people that usually start out that way. They need people to help them, so they're going to work with other people. But always their goal is about what they want. Ever had a conversation with somebody like that? They ask you to come up. They ask you to team up with them. But it's very clear from minute one that they have the whole plan. Come do it my way. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if you say it from the beginning. Listen, I know exactly what I want to do. Come help me. Right? So on Friday when the tree fell on my house, right, and I'm out there trying to figure out what to do with it by myself, it's really cool. It's just me, myself, and the tree. And I get out my chainsaw, which all of you should be a little scared at, right? I got it in my hand, and we have 3 feet of snow down where we live, right? So it's just treacherous all around. And there's this apple tree that's been peeled in 5 different ways, 2 of which are on my house. And I'm trying to figure out how to get it off my house. But I don't do tree removal, And when I do cut trees, it usually ends up ugly. Like, usually it's just me and there's nobody around. But if I could tell you some of the ugly things that I've done with tree cutting, and only by the grace of God that I'm still alive. So there's a point where I'm up on my picnic table that has 3 feet of snow up, which most of you would be saying, did you clear it off? And I would say to you, maybe not. I'm up there and I'm reaching, trying to get this tree. Totally oblivious to what's going to happen, like with the tree, you know, type of thing. So I get most of it cut away, and I get the weight off the roof, but I get to a point where I'm like, I simply don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get this last branch off my house. So I pick up my phone, and I call my brother, and I say, Scott, I'm going to need your help. Now, he's smart, because you know what he says? Go to breakfast, and I'll come to your house. He didn't say, I'll come up and help you do it. He says, go to breakfast, enjoy breakfast, was exactly his text, which I know means get out of my way. Let me do what I do, how I do it. So I come home from breakfast, and guess what I find? The tree's off the roof. I have no idea how he did it, but it's off the roof, right? Now, if I had invited him up and I said, I don't have any clue how to do this, but do it my way, which seems really stupid and seems really weird, and we would never do that, except for guess what? Most of us have done that to people in our life. We ask them for our help. We ask them to come and help us out, and then we say, but do it my way. That's what pride does. Self-seeking turns into pride, because now guess what? I have no idea how my brother did it. He can have all the pride in the world of getting the tree off of my house. And I don't get any of it, by the way. That really stinks. I have to admit to people, yeah, my brother did it. Right? But we love it when people watch us, right? We love it when people say, hey, listen, look at what you accomplished. We live for those moments. There's a reason why we talked about envy. We talked about jealousy. We said, there's a reason why when somebody gets an award, the person getting the award is excited. Everybody else is going, why wasn't it me? How come I didn't get that? What was wrong with me? Because self-seeking starts off that way. And we understand that, listen, guys, ultimately, my wife and I and Timothy were talking about on the way up here. Ultimately, the Bible says this very clearly. You're to seek treasure in where? Heaven, right? Seek treasure in heaven. Do things on this earth that will build up your treasure in heaven. Which means that it's a lot more like my brother. It just gets done. It just happens. We don't know always how people get it done. We don't always celebrate how people get it done. I walked in the door. My brother was still there with my two nieces. I didn't have a party because he got it off my roof. I was just really thankful he got it off my roof. And he told me he didn't think there was any damage. That's a God thing. That's wonderful. But we look and we say, listen, I'm just going to do what God has called me to do. Like Paul said, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do, regardless of what everybody else is doing. And I'm going to build up treasures in heaven. But the honest truth is, most of us want the rewards of this earth, don't we? We do. We want the pay raise. We want the recognition. We want the retirement package. We want the health benefits. We want our neighbors to think we're the greatest person in the world. We want the positions in church. We want those things. That's how it starts out with self-seeking. We want those things. We don't want the things of God. We want the things of this earth. While we're here, let's enjoy it. God says that is absolutely opposite of what I have for you. Absolutely opposite. You are to use the things that I have given to build for yourself treasures in heaven. And he makes it very clear. Jesus says, listen, if you get your reward on earth, that's your reward. This is not double reward system. So if men honor you, if men lift you up, God says, that's all about you. That's okay. You get that. But if I lift you up, then that has eternal value. And so we look at the teeter-totter thing and we say, listen, if we allow and we crave the applause of heaven and God lifts us up. Guys, you have all been in moments, God lifted up moments, way bigger than you could ever imagine. Right? Where the applause of heaven is so loud, God gets the glory. Because if we're a Christian and we're doing it right, when the teeter-totter goes up and God lifts us up, who do people see? They see Jesus, right? They see God and they say, I see Jesus. I don't see Andy. I don't see Carol. I see Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. But pride starts telling us that we've arrived. Pride starts us being excited about what we've accomplished. Listen, when you want to find God, God loves you for who you are, not what you do. People love you for what you do, not who you are. If you think I'm wrong, just try it. Most people find it out, even in the most intimate of relationships, in marriage. It's not about who you are, it's about what you do. It's about what you do. That's the earthly reward. God says, it is not about what you do. It's about who you are. What you do comes from who you are. The world says you could be the crummiest, ugliest, awfulest, terriblest person in the world. But if you give away your billions, we'll label you as a good person. Right? And God says, don't let them fool you. What you're doing on the inside, who you are on the inside, matters. It matters greatly. Pride says, listen, look at what I've accomplished. You've heard me say it before, and we've all had a moment like this. King Nebuchadnezzar walked out. He looked over the city of Babylon, and he said, look at what my hands have accomplished. And instantaneously, he spent 7 years eating grass. When you take away the glory of God, you're messing with God. See, Lucifer looked at heaven. Do you know that Lucifer was the greatest of all angels? He was an archangel, and he sang. The Bible tells us that when he sang, it was amazing. Right? But he looked at God and he said, I want what you have. What was it that God had that Lucifer didn't have? Praise and worship. He wanted people to worship him. He wanted people to praise him. Right? When Lucifer took that exact same thing and he went down to the Garden of Eden and he met Adam and Eve, and what's he say to them in chapter 3 of Genesis? He says, listen, what did God tell you? And so Eve says, God said, you can eat anything, you can have anything, you can partake in anything. He made it all for us, but we can't eat from these two trees, right? We can't eat from the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, right? And Lucifer uses the same concept because he's already tried it. He looks at him and says, is that what God really said? Is God really going to do that? Hey, guess what? God's trying to keep something from you. You see, most of us actually really truly believe that God's trying to keep something from us. See, if I become a Christian, then I have to settle for less. God's trying to keep stuff from me. He doesn't want me to enjoy this. I can't have any alcohol. I can't play any cards. I can't dance. I can't go to the casino. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. And that's how we view God. Correct me where I'm wrong. Most of us have been in a place where that's how we have viewed God. I can't. God's trying to keep me from things. Everybody else gets to have a Super Bowl party. God tells me I've got to go to church on a Sunday night. That's awful. Right? God says, that is not who I am, and that's not what I am. But Lucifer, our enemy, that's what he says. Look at what other people aren't doing. Look at what they're keeping you from. You walk into a place and all you see is what other people aren't doing. Rather than what people are doing, you look and you see people for what they accomplish, not for what they are. Right? And Lucifer looks at that and he says, I wanted the praise, I wanted the worship, and guess what? That gets passed down into our sin. Do you know what most people want? They want their wife to worship them. They want their husband to worship them. That's what they want. They want to know. Most people crave. They want to know that they would be chosen. Choose me over. Is that not right? And my Bible says that God says, I'm a jealous God. Right? Exodus chapter 20, the first few verses, God says, I'm a jealous God. I want to know that you're going to choose me. I want to know that you're going to choose me. I'm afraid that other things are going to take you away from me. Right? That's what pride does. Pride comes in. And it fills the gap there and it says, you know what? I want you to worship me. And I crave it. And I want it. Pride also makes it so that you don't listen to other people. When you see people who are not willing to listen to the other side, it's all about pride. My way is the only way. And it's the right way. Guys, I don't know what you've learned in life, but I sure hope you've learned that there's multiple ways to do multiple things. Your way is not the only way. If it was, it would be in the Bible, just for the record. So if your way is in the Bible, that's good. It's the only way. But if your way is a preference, it's about pride. And if you're forcing people to follow that preference, this is the way it has to be done, now you got a problem. Because pride demands worship, does it not? Let me finish with this. There's one that's even worse to me. It's in my top three. Most of you heard me say it before. When I introduce myself to people and I want them to know who I am, I say, hi, my name's Andy Frud. I love Pepsi. I hate Coke. It's a battle of good and evil to me. I love Hostess Ho-Hos. I hate Little Debbie Swiss Cake Rolls because it's a battle of good and evil. I'm really sorry. Right? It's the difference between fake and real. You go ahead, you redefine and say the little, but there's a reason why they're cheaper and there's a reason. Okay, we're done. That's the end of that sermon. Third thing I say to people, I really, 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 really dislike what? I dislike rude people. Why do I dislike rude people? Do you know what Jesus said? If you look at that Matthew chapter 5, he says, don't say raka. Do you know what that whole concept is? Don't walk up to somebody and tell them that they are worthless, that they are foolish. You know what happens when you are rude to somebody? You're saying what you are saying, what you are doing is worthless to me. It's worthless. And Jesus directly says, do not do that. Because you know what you're doing when you call somebody worthless, when you call them foolish? Is you are saying that what I did for them is somehow cheapened, it's less. That they weren't worth what I did. My Bible says, Jesus said, if there was only one person on this earth, he would have done what he did. All the lashes, all the punishment, all the blood, the cross, everything is the same if there was one person. And when you look at somebody and you say you are worthless, you are foolish, what you're saying is somehow what Jesus did for them, it's cheapened, right? He shouldn't have done so much for that person. He wouldn't have done it for that person. Man, when you are calling what God has created worthless, you're in a really bad place. So when you're sitting in school as a student and you're not paying attention to the teacher and you're saying to them through body language and actions, what you're doing and saying right now is worthless to me. Man, you are going directly against the Bible. Directly. You're saying that somehow that person has less value for Jesus than you do. That's a pride thing, and that's up here. That's why pride is in everything we do. There are times where we have sat in front of people, we've sat with people, and what we're saying to them in our body language is what you're saying right now is worthless. What you're doing is worthless. Who you are is worthless. Don't tell your husband. Don't tell your wife. Don't tell your kids. Don't tell the people you work with. Don't tell the people in school with you. Don't tell people in this church that they are worthless when God Almighty says you are not worthless. Don't do it. I've sat and listened to people that I have very little respect for. The Bible says I don't have to respect them, but I can't say they're worthless. There are people who have sat and listened to me who have very little respect for me. And they've done it because they've been willing to say, I don't believe you, I don't think you're telling me the truth, but you're not worthless. Also, don't tell people that their time is worthless. Listen, you know why I beat up on people about being late? First and foremost, my wife. It's because what you're saying to people who have prepared for you, right? People who have gone to an effort to get something ready for you, what you're saying to them is, your time is not as valuable as my time. Don't do it. God says, don't do it. Jesus and the Gospels are all about worth. How about telling people that they're worth something? Do not undo that message. Does that make sense? Do not stand for people who are given that message to other people, that they are worthless. Hence why I started out this message by apologizing, repenting and saying, listen, I didn't lead well this morning. Do not tell people that they're worthless. However, it works both ways. So all of you are going, shoo, I'm going to remind Andy of that all the time. make sure that you're ready to be reminded of that. Because when you're not willing to listen to somebody, that's exactly what you're saying. God says, don't do it. So listen, this morning, I want to close with this. There may be some of us here this morning, there may be all of us here this morning who needed a little dose of what I did at the beginning. Right? But you might be in a place where you say, listen, I've just spent a lot of time seeking the applause of man. I just want people to say, well done. Good job. I can't wait for that. And they keep that keeps me going. Maybe some of you guys are in a good place. You're just seeking the applause of heaven and nobody, you don't care about anything. It's a great place to be. But if you're seeking the applause of men, if you're seeking people to say, I understand where you've been. I understand where you are. I get it. Well done. Yay, you're doing a great job. That's not where we want to be as a church. See, unity comes when we seek in the applause of heaven. Growth comes when we make hard choices and hard decisions and we seek the applause of heaven. It's when Don on a Wednesday night brings up a subject that is divisive in most churches, and he does it with a little smirky smile. So what do you think about this? And people come together instead of being split apart about it. They come together instead of saying, I'm going to leave the church because you believe that. I'm no longer going to be your friend because you believe that. Let's get rid of our pride and what we've accomplished. Let's boast in what God has accomplished. Let's remind each other when we want to look at the negative, when we want to look at what people aren't doing, let's remember what people are doing. And saying, yeah, is everybody here where we want them to be? No. No. But are people trying? Yeah. I'm trying really hard in life to give people credit for trying. I start out conversations now, I try with what I see you trying to accomplish, rather than just pounding you over the head with what you're not accomplishing. But let me explain something very clearly. God's not about pride. He's not about self-seeking. If you have to convince people how great you are, you're in problem, Bill, really quickly. And he's not a rude God. He listens to people regardless of what they're saying or how they're saying it. He listens to them. That does not give you the right to say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again and take advantage of people who are trying not to be rude. It doesn't. We want to be a church that is Christ-like. God is what God is about. So I'm going to pray this morning. As Donna's going to come up, she's going to play. And if you need to do some business with God this morning, if there's something that you need to pray about, we want to invite you up here. We'll pray with you. If you can do it from your seat, you don't have to ever get up to go anywhere to deal with God. But if you want somebody to pray with you, we want to do that. If you want to, you know, just say, listen, I'm seeking applause of men, not of God, and I want to fix that this morning. We want you to do that. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you that you are a God who makes ugly things beautiful. Lord, you take the ugliest moments of our lives, the ones we're not really keen on, the ones that we're ashamed of, the ones that we're hiding in our closet, the ones that other people get to see. And you can make beautiful things out of that. Lord, our enemy, he desires division. Division within us. Division within us collectively, in our families. Lord, we pray against that. Pray against the spirit of disunity. But Lord, most of that comes when we decide to humble ourselves. Lord, your word says that if we humble ourselves, that you are faithful to lift us up. But it'll be in your time. Lord, the teeter-totter goes up. Your time, not our time. So Lord, this morning I pray that we would be a family, that we just deal with the things that we need to deal with. Lord, help us to come up alongside each other, to lift each other up, to be a family. In your name, amen. Thank you.